This podcast is for adults only. It contains themes of a sexual nature that aren't suited for younger listeners. If you're below the age of consent in your area, your parents should have stopped you from downloading this podcast.
It's not erotic. It's Art Erotica. ArtErotica.com.
Hi. I'm Arter, and welcome to the first episode of my podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find more of my work on my website, arterotica.com. That's ArdorotiCa.com. I write primarily female domination, nude in public, and clothed female, nude male stories. There's also a miscellaneous section on my website for the odd story that doesn't fit in any of those categories. There are plenty of stories to read on my site, and I'll be podcasting a story a month. As far as erotica goes, it's always been the dirty story that's gotten me off. Pictures and videos are hot, but stories bring me into a world that pictures or movies never have. So what you'll find here is basically what turns me on. I write the fantasies that I just can't find anywhere else. I love the idea of clothed female, nude male. When I look back on my sex life, it's something I've been into before the term was even coined. I've been naked in bondage clubs and play parties since I started going to them. In fact, the first scene I ever played out in a bondage club had me bound to a cross while four completely dressed women teased my naked body. It was a lot of fun, believe me. So when I write about clothed female, nude male stories, it's with some real-life perspective. I do feel that there's a distinct difference between clothed female, nude male, and female domination, though. While I like the women in my clothed female nude male stories to be very assertive and definitely the ones who are in control, they don't cross that line that would turn them into a dominant. For me, clothed female nude male is about male vulnerability, sexual tension, teasing, and voyeurism. The women like seeing men naked. They like having an advantage over them and enjoy turning the guys into sex objects for a change. That being said, I think clothed female nude male is primarily a male fantasy. That doesn't mean there aren't women into it. In fact, there is a clothed female nude male tea party held somewhere in Northern California. I've never been to one. However, you can find out more information about them at twistedteas.org. I've also seen several party notifications on FetLife. However, not being in my area, I haven't been able to go to them, so I don't know if they're for real. Or how successful they were. My best advice, if you want to attend a clothed female, nude male party, is to poke around FetLife or the Visual Sensations for Women forum. Be patient, polite, and try to build some relationships before you drop your pants. Good advice, actually, no matter what adventure you're hoping to go out on. Next, I'm going to read for you part of the first chapter of The Elasti Building, Marty's Tale. I'll be podcasting more of it next episode. But if you don't want to wait, you can read it on my website, arterotica.com. The Elasti Building, Marty's Tale, Chapter 1. I walked into Rachel's office, feeling discouraged before I even sat down with her. My apartment search wasn't going very well. I looked and looked, but either what she had to show me seemed like a tenement landlord's broom closet, or was above an all-night bowling alley. I walked up to the reception desk thinking that maybe I had come to the wrong agency. "Hi," I said to Kitty, the cute young receptionist. "Could you tell Rachel I'm here?" "Hey, Marty," she said, smiling back and reaching for the phone. She dialed Rachel's extension, and after a few seconds said, "Mr. Fisher is here to see you." "Yeah?" "Okay, I'll send him right back." She hung up the phone and then said, "Go on back, Marty. She's waiting for you." "Thanks, Kitty," I said as I walked past her to go to Rachel's office. "Oh, and Marty," Kitty said, "I'm waiting too." I looked over my shoulder to catch her staring at my butt and said, "Maybe if you're a good girl, we can go and celebrate after Rachel finds me an apartment." "Oh, I'm going to hold you to that," she said with a taunting smile. I laughed and said, "You can hold me to whatever you like." "You might regret saying that someday, Marty," she said with a little laugh. I shook my head at her, smiling, and then walked back to Rachel's office. Kitty's desk was in front of a wall with a doorway to either side. No doors, just a doorway. I walked through the doorway and then around a little wall to get to the main office while thinking about Kitty. She was adorable. and I would ask her out, except for a couple of things. One, she looked like she was barely 19. I'm hardly an old man at 28, but I like to keep the girls I date to within a 5-year range of me. Second, what if things went bad? I didn't want to have to keep coming to an office where the receptionist hates me. Lastly, I'm not sure I could keep up with her. Kitty looks like trouble. It was all probably besides the point anyway. If Rachel doesn't have anything for me today, I'm going to have to go look elsewhere. I walked up to Rachel's desk and said, "How's it going?" "Good and not so good, Marty. Have a seat," she said, pointing to the chair in front of her desk. Rachel was about 35 years old and obviously took good care of herself. She had a sophisticated New York air about her, not to mention an amazing pair of legs that made her nice to look at. "That doesn't sound very reassuring," I said as I sat down. "I don't have much left that I can show you, Marty," Rachel said with a shrug of her shoulders. "Nothing? You don't have anything decent? I'm getting kind of desperate here," I said, wondering how much longer my friend would loan me her couch. "Well, I do have one place, Marty. It's a very unusual situation, and the apartment is very small." "How small? How unusual?" I asked, hoping for the best. "The apartment itself consists of a roomy bedroom with a full bath. There's an amazing kitchen with brand new appliances, chef grade actually, and a small living room with a large window." "That doesn't sound so bad," I said, wondering what the problem was. "What's the unusual part?" "I actually can't tell you that, Marty, until you sign a non-disclosure agreement." I looked at her for a second and then asked, "Are you serious?" "Yes, Marty. These people have a special arrangement with their tenants, and they don't want anyone to know about it unless they live there or deal with them professionally. I've signed this agreement, and I assure you it's serious business. It's worth it, though, if you can keep your mouth shut." I thought about it for a second and then said, "Let me see the agreement." Rachel opened up her bottom desk drawer and went through some files. Finally, she pulled out a form and handed it to me. Unlike most legal documents I've seen, this one was fairly easy to understand. It stated, in no uncertain terms, that all matters concerning the building and its conditions were not to be talked about. Any breach of this agreement was punishable by the full extent of the law. "Is this document even legal?" I asked, holding it up to her. "Punishable by the full extent of the law? They're going to send me to jail for talking about this building." Rachel shrugged and said, "These people are very rich and very powerful, Marty. They've spent a considerable amount of money to get what they want. I wouldn't sign that agreement if you have any doubt that you can keep your mouth closed." I thought about it for a minute and then decided to sign. What did I have to lose? After I signed the form, Rachel looked it over and then filed it away. "Okay, now I can speak more plainly," Rachel said, relaxing into her chair. "The window doesn't actually face out of the building." "It faces inward?" I asked. Rachel smiled and said, "Yes. Actually, it's more of a wall than a window." I looked at her like she was nuts and said, "Excuse me?" "The wall, that's the entrance to your apartment," Rachel said, "is made of glass. It would allow anyone walking past to see into your living room, kitchen, and shower." I raised an eyebrow and said, "The shower? Anyone walking by would be able to watch me take a shower?" Rachel smiled and said, "Yes, but that's not a big deal because men aren't actually allowed to wear clothes anywhere inside the building." Taken back, I said, "This is some kind of joke, right?" Rachel shook her head slightly and said, "I know, it sounds like a joke, but honestly, it's not." I looked at her waiting for the other shoe to drop, but she didn't even crack a smile. Instead, she asked, "So would you be interested? The rent for this particular apartment would be very inexpensive, and the building itself is near Union Square Park and a few blocks from Washington Square Park." "Wow," I said excited, "I'd kill to live in that area." "Yes," Rachel said with a smile, "but would you give up your clothes to live in that area?" Is this for real?" I asked skeptically. "I assure you, Marty, it is," Rachel said with a smile. I looked off into the distance for a second, and then back at Rachel and asked, "How much is the rent?" $350 a month. I laughed and said, "Now I know you're joking. $350? There's no way any place in Manhattan is renting for that. Especially a luxury apartment." Rachel held up her hands and said, I know it sounds unreal, but I do have a video I can show you. Sort of a brochure for the place. However, you'll have to undress before I can allow you to view it. Right here? I asked, looking around the open office. No, no, she said. In the conference room, where the DVD player is. But I would have to get naked before you could let me see it, I asked, not sure what to believe anymore. Basically, Rachel explained, my clients want to make sure that you're serious before you learn any more about them. They also want you to understand what you're getting into. I see, I said, and then took a few seconds to think before I said, okay, I'll do it. Wonderful, she said, smiling. I'll show you to the conference room. Rachel led me down a hallway into the conference room. At the back of the room, there was a large HD TV with a few chairs placed in front of it. Wow, that's quite a setup, I said when we got up to the TV. Rachel chuckled quietly and then said, state-of-the-art, large-screen, plasma HD TV. It was provided for us by the owners of the building in order to show the presentation in its best light. Wow, I guess they do have some money to throw around, I said impressed. Wait until you see the building, Marty. Opulent is the only word I can think of that even comes close to describing it. And I really have to be naked before I can see this video, I asked, feeling a little uneasy now that it was coming down to it. Yep, completely, or I can't even show you the disc the presentation comes on. Okay, I said as I started to undress. I was suddenly conscious that Rachel was watching my every move as I started to take off my clothes. I also couldn't help noticing how hard her nipples were. Eventually, I'm down to just my pants and underwear. I hesitate to take them off, because for some reason, undressing in front of her has gotten me really hard. When she sees me hesitating, she says, it's usually best to just do it, Marty. Putting it off only makes it more difficult. I smiled at her awkwardly, and then opened my pants and took them off. Then, I pulled down my underwear, letting my hard dick pop into view. I started to apologize for it, but Rachel said, don't worry, Marty. That's perfectly natural reaction, and one you'll find the women of this building enjoy seeing. Okay, I said, wondering what I was getting myself into. And you shave, Rachel said with a smile. I love a nice clean-shaven cock. Now, why don't you have a seat, and I'll be right back with the DVD. Okay, thanks, I said in kind of a daze. As she walked towards the door, Rachel asked, would you like something to drink? Soda or water? Water, please, I said, as a reflex. I'll have Kitty bring it in while I get the DVD, she said as she walked out the door. After the door closed behind her, I realized what she had just said and panicked. I was thinking about putting on my clothes and making a run for it when the door opened and Kitty walked in. I wanted to move. I wanted to cover myself or get my clothes, which were right next to me. But I couldn't get my muscles to cooperate as I watched her walk closer and closer towards me. Here's your water, Marty, she said, standing in front of me, holding out a bottle of water and smiling. Her eyes went up and down my naked body, stopping for a second on my hard dick before going back up to my face. I reached out to take the bottle of water from her. When my hand touched hers, I somehow felt more naked than I've ever felt in my entire life. You're gonna love this building, Marty, she said with that adorable smile. Then the door opened again, and Rachel and another woman came in. For some reason, I felt like I was caught doing something I shouldn't have been doing. I jumped up out of the chair and took a few steps away from Kitty. Marty, Rachel said, this is my boss, Ms. Burke. Ms. Burke looked to be in her late 30s, maybe early 40s. While no goddess of perfection, she was attractive and well-dressed. I couldn't help notice that she had an incredible pair of long, shapely legs, which were nicely displayed in a business skirt that seemed a little shorter than usual. Hello, Marty. When I heard you were interested in moving into the Elasti building, I wanted to greet you personally, Miss Burke said, stealing a quick glance at my hard dick. Miss Burke is one of the board members of the building and helped bring its concept to life, Rachel said almost proudly. Oh, I see, I replied awkwardly. Yes, and it turned out to be much harder than I thought, Miss Burke said, her eyes darting down to look at my hard dick. Then, smiling, she looked me back in the eyes, took a step closer, brushed her fingers up the underside of my balls and up the length of my hard dick, and said, but like anything you want, you just have to go after it until you get it. When I let out a shuddering breath at the touch of Miss Burke's fingers, Kitty giggled, and I heard her say quietly to Rachel, she's my hero. Rachel chuckled quietly, and Miss Burke looked at the two of them and smiled. Then she looked back at me and said, perhaps we should get on with the video. Kitty, I'm going to need you back at reception. Yes, ma'am, Kitty said a little disappointed. Then she turned to me and said with a smile as she gently stroked my dick, Don't forget your promise, Marty. Oh, I said with another shudder, Your hands, they're so soft. I'm glad you like it, she said with another stroke. I use this amazing lotion. You'll have to tell us about it later, Miss Burke said to Kitty. Yes, ma'am, Kitty said, finally taking the hint. Kitty gave me a kiss on the cheek, scooped up my clothes, and rushed out the door. I opened my mouth to say something about my clothes, but when I felt Miss Burke's hand on my cock, I closed it slowly. Rachel, why don't you put in the DVD? And Marty, why don't you come and sit here? Miss Burke said, leading me by my dick to a chair in front of the TV. I sat down with Miss Burke on my left, who still hadn't let go of my dick, and Rachel on my right, with the remote to the DVD player in her hand. She put her left hand on my thigh, stroked it, and said, I think this will tell you all you need to know, Marty. That's all of Marty's tale for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it and will either check my website for more of the story or you'll download me again next month. I want to make a quick mention about a Yahoo group you should check out. It's called Eros Shared World. It's sort of a naked sword and sorcery universe. I have a story in the file section, and Tenyari, the owner of the group, has one up as well. It's a great story, but it's not finished yet, so check it out on the Yahoo group or email Tenyari and ask for more. It's also an open universe, so if you're interested in adding a story of your own, there are writer's guides. You can find the group at tinyurl.com/y95baxx, or check out the link section on my website, arterotica.com. That's arterotica.com. Please send any feedback or comments about this podcast, my writing, or what you'd like to hear more of to arterotica@gmail.com. The music for this podcast was provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com.